Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. And I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Amen. You love him.
Holy, high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be gathered together. And all, even though times are bad and what's going on, we can still, at this present time, gather and worship and all. We're sorry that some has to sit outside and it's a little discomfort, I guess you call it. But I told Wade and gave him a little note to our Wednesday, and he read it, just kind of what I was thinking. What would you be doing if it wasn't for this virus thing? Unless something really bad would be wrong, I'd be at church, wouldn't you? And that's what we want to be, and that's the point, you know, of coming together and to be here and to have a good time. And sorry that the inconvenience, but that's what I said. What are you going to do? You a little bit problem there with it, but we'll abide until things gets worked out and it'll eventually straighten up enough to be able to do and whatever. But until that time, we have to kind of go by that and just, make ourselves ready, because we want to serve God no matter what. See, and if we can't keep up with the footman, the Bible said, what about when the horsemen get here? What about when they come in and start making more demands, more things, and all like that? We have to still make a way or find a way to be able to have services or do something. If we have to, we'll broadcast right from the house or something. We'll do the best we can do and all to get it. And you think, well, this is not too bad, because it's kind of, people are getting used to what's going on now, and you say, well, it's not too bad, but it is pretty bad when you can't go where you want to go, or you can't go to church, can't do that. But it's not just church. That's what I've tried to tell you. This is just the beginning of things, because it's not into the religious realm necessarily right now of, things going on and all like that. But yet it is, because it's controlling. And it'll be more and more, you'll see the religious realm as it begins to unfold, and more control will be brought into view. I mean, that's my thoughts. But if we can't do something now, what are we going to do when that comes? When the time comes for the thing, if we can't get along now, and that's what I said. I don't ask you to, or demand you as a pastor to you to do that. No, I just ask you to be what you want to be. And if you come to church and all like that and sit outside, just do that for the glory of the Lord and let God get the honor and glory out of the whole thing. If we can sit inside, we sit inside. We do the best we can do to be able to operate. And that way, then, the Lord will take care of all the rest. But now, I'm like this. If we don't put forth an effort, this is just me. This is the way I've always been. Doesn't matter. When I was in the Baptist, I was this way. Same now. If we don't put forth an effort, you know, in the times of trouble to be able to move on with the Lord.
Amen.
What are we?
Yeah, that's right.
I thought we were, you know, people of the Word of God, and the Word was telling us what to do, not what everybody else tells us. So then just think of these things. Think about it is that we have the time we can do, and if they narrow down anymore, we do something else. We keep moving to whatever we can do, and then let that abide. It'll work out. It'll all come out to the right place. All right, I know you've done it, but make sure you pray for Brother Al. He's still having a lot of problems. Brother Forney, pray for Brother Collie. Pray for all of these. Brother Roberts, Brother Dale there, and this Sister Mary Darty, and all of the ones that have what we call major things, you know, sicknesses and things. Keep those in mind and just pray that the Lord would bless each one. But remember everybody else. Remember the whole church, and just pray that God would bless. Okay? If you like turning your scriptures, turn into Luke 17. And we'll try to pick up where we were last week and move on. And Brother Aaron, the Lord willing, will be ministering this coming Wednesday, so remember that. I know you've already prayed. Sister Barbara's son, they're checking him for the virus, and also just remember him. He's there in the hospital. She called last night about 11 and something that, you know, having problems. So remember that, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your grace unto us. Thank you for an opportunity at this time that we can still serve you, have service for you. We can come together, a little inconvenience, but what is this compared with the early ages in the church and the problems and the heartaches and troubles and the deaths and the sorrows that they went through to try to serve you? What little things are we going through? What are we playing in, Lord, in this? You know, help us to see and to walk in the light of your grace. Keep us in your understanding. Bless the sick among us and help us to walk in you in Jesus' name. Now, we said it Wednesday. We're not asking you to even to try to come on Wednesdays. If you want to come, that's fine. That's honorable. But that's a night service. That's a little different. We're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to come to the morning service, the evening service on the Sundays. And when you're coming up here, as Wade was announcing it, to make sure you understand where I stand, because I was when it wrote the notes on parts of it, that, you know, if you know you're not going to be able, you're invited, you're chosen to come on the Sunday services, all right, in the Insider or Wednesdays or whatever. It's not bad on Wednesday, but on Sunday, you know, if something goes wrong, we're not, you know, don't go, if I get sick. Well, if you get sick, we'll pray for the sick. But what I'm saying is, if you get sick, then go to the hospital, and nobody won't get to see you, and you won't be in service with nobody for a while till they get you cleared up, okay? Being sarcastic? Okay, I'm sarcastic. What are you? I'm just making it plain to the point that what we expect. Don't come for the morning service and then not come back for the evening service. Let somebody else have that. Give them that slot. You know, if you're going to come for one service, come for both services. If you're not going to come for both services, don't come for one. Let something goes wrong. Okay. Let something happens, problems and troubles. Are you clear? But see, that way you're not taking away from somebody else, because you just think about it. There's a lot of people that like to be sitting up here today. Now, both services up here in the building. And if I was one of them, I would too. And if I seen you leave out and not honor the keeping of both services, I would say, hey, I could have went both of them, you know, and things like that. So remember that. Okay. All right. Just keep in mind all of these things. Let's read our scripture. Okay. Technical difficulty. Okay. Luke 17:20. Now I totally changed. I wasn't going to do it. I had it ready to go and it got changed when I got here. So I'll go this way. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All right. And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come." Now, he's talking about it. He described the Holy Ghost being in you, talking to them right there. Now look what he's saying. "The days will come when you shall desire to see the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. They shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them or follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, as so shall also this coming, shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Now I want to keep that one. So watch, "in his day, the Son of Man in his day. But first must he suffer many," now going back in what he's going to do, "and be rejected of the generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They shall eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came," going all the way back through the Bible, coming back up, right? "And destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." All right, you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what I want you to think about, because that's what I had on the service prior, that talking about, because I'm still on the quotes, just do you that have them, and they have them back there. They don't have to pull up some new ones because we just pick from what we're doing. I want to preach really basically the same message, but in a little different form. Now, the last message, my point was that you have Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Okay. That's the three sons' name. Okay. Son of Man was the Old Testament. Right? Now, we're beginning back there. The Son of Man, the Old Testament, which was what? The Father. Right? Son of Man, God himself, the Creator. The Son of Man was the Word, right, that created all things and come down. And it kept creating, kept bringing forth. And then it as it came into the prophets, see, they were used maybe at a little bit to start with, but then they said, "Well, we don't want the prophets to speak anymore, you know. I mean, we don't want God to speak anymore. We want the prophets to speak." All right? So he designed a way to bring it and brought it through Moses and brought it out into the understanding. Okay? My point then was what? Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Son of Man was Father, prophets, Creator. Son of God, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. All right? Son of David, see, is in the millennial reign to the Jews. All right? Now, so we covered that those Old Testament prophets, they said, "Thus saith the Lord." Because that was the Father speaking through them. That was God himself. I use that word Father in the basis of where you'll keep it in mind, because I'm trying to click that little spot in the human brain that makes it remember a few little things, all right? And that one thing is that Word was the Creator God.
Right.
All right? And that was the Son of Man.
Right.
Amen. All right? Because it is the rising of the sun, is that what it is?
Right.
Where Brother Branham said, you know, that what is or who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and the Word was God. All right. But then he went on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Now, so pick up the point now. Son of Man was the Creator God, the great eternal, the kingdom of the what we would call the Father's kingdom, or the time back there under the Old Testament that he would be dealing with the Father in the basis of doing. He wouldn't be dealing with the Son because nobody didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost back there. He wouldn't be dealing with Son of David. So the Old Testament was dealing basically with Son of Man. All right. Son of Man, God himself speaking through those men,
right,
using the prophets to say, thus saith the Lord. All right. You know, bringing it to that basis to where that it was God speaking through the prophets. And that would be his kingdom that he was dwelling therein was the Word to made flesh. All right. Now, all right, take that point now and keep what I'm saying, and then we'll go back and reread some of the quotes where that you'll see it tie together. That the Jehovah, the Old Testament, was that Jehovah God, the Creator God, the I Am that created all things. But it was the Word that done the creating. So keep that in mind, and then you won't have any problems when you read where the prophet said, and even Scofield brings it out, that the Son is what was the Creator. See, he could read those things and see it and see what was happening back there. All right. It kept creating, kept coming through, and the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord, and it would come through and dwelt all the way through the Old Testament as Son of Man. All right. Then it came that the Son of Man came into human flesh. That very Word, that very Father, that very God himself was coming down to dwell in human flesh. All right. Now, bringing forth the child that would come forth later, you know, but the Creator that would create a body to come and live in. All right. And he would bring it down and bring it to where there stood on earth then, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What Word was made flesh? The great eternal Jehovah God himself.
Right.
See, not another person, but the very Jehovah God himself. He now comes down into human flesh. Now watch my point as we try to hold it. See, those prophets, they were a Son of Man. But the Son of Man would speak through them and they'd say, thus saith the Lord. All right? See? And them being a Son of Man, then it would mean that God was dwelling in flesh. Okay? Back through the Old Testament, he was dwelling in the flesh of those prophets. Until he could come down enough to remember we're covering it, to when he come to Moses, it comes into a greater portion of things because Moses didn't say thus saith the Lord a lot of times. He got to the basis of just saying it and things because that would be speaking of what was coming to be made manifest. All right? Showing that the Son of Man would come into flesh. The Son of Man would come into human flesh. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. Moses was just a Son of Man. But the Lord Jesus was the Son of Man stepping forth in human flesh. All right. Now, watch my point now. See, then that Son of Man would be dealing with the Word made flesh. I want you to get that into your mind and drive this little tack down because that's what I've always preached and what I've always believed now. That it's not one person. It can't be. The Son of Man can't be one person no more.
Amen.
That ended it in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one person.
Amen.
All right.
Yes,
From then on, it would be into a multiple form or a group or a bride or a church that I've been talking about. All right. See, then it would be to the basis that something was transpiring more in the coming forth of the Lord Jesus than maybe what we think about. Because there was the Word itself made flesh in the human body. The Word made a flesh to step into. That was fine. All right. By creating the Word itself, see, then His body would be a human element. Okay. Now listen to what I'm saying. Showing what He was going to do there, whatever, what He done there, He's going to do in the entire bride. I've never preached that nobody, no one man can't be what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ is, yes. God Himself is that, but not no human elements. There's nothing. But as a body of Jesus Christ, we're in the days of the manifestation. God. Now we can cover all of it. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. We've been through it up and down. But we're in the day of the full manifestation of the Word of God. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ dwelling in His church. You say, but that's just too strong. No, it ain't strong enough. See? Think about what you're talking, what I've been trying to get you to see. See, the Son of Man was the Word made flesh, right? The prophets would stand out and say, thus saith the Lord, until it was so much so close to them, until they'd have to veil Moses' face and all kind of things would have to be for those people, and they would speak the Word of God. Right. But one day, that God stepped on earth.
Amen.
All right? Now, where did He step? He stepped into human flesh.
Amen.
Right? So He became John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Taking all of the Old Testament, all of the Creator, all of the things of the Old Testament about Jehovah and being, showing the Father Himself, the Creator, standing forth and bringing the Word, which was the Son to bring the Word.
Amen.
All right? Now, in doing that then, His plan and purpose was to come and live in human flesh. All right, now listen to what I'm talking about. You know yourself that most of the time you think about God coming to live in human flesh was that He came down to release the life that was in the flesh. That's well and good. I mean, that's okay. Well and good, because it's true. He did come down to offer up that flesh. But had He not come in flesh, He couldn't have come forth to do the redemptive. Right? There'd have been no redemption. So you got to take everything and put it under Son of Man. Because really Son of Man in the whole Bible ties together everything. See? All right? And that was what I was trying to get across our last week, was to make sure you'd see that all of those prophets were God in another form, but yet not the Son of Man. Because it would not dwell in just one. But they were God in another form. Moses, because that's what Jesus said. He said, you call them gods that the Word come to. And He said, that is right. That is right. Those prophets were so close to God until God was in that prophet, living and speaking forth. But He was in a human element that had a beginning and sin had entered the picture and et cetera. So that couldn't be used to do that part. See, there was no way you or I could do anything to save each other. One couldn't die for the other and do any good. No, but Jesus Christ could come, live on earth, become, now listen to what I'm saying, become the Word made flesh. And then He could give His life to release that was within Him.
Amen.
Okay. Release that was within him to get us salvation for the soul. But you still got a problem with the body. All right. See, one day you're going to realize what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a rapture and resurrection and things down here in low enough terms until, if you're not careful, you'll miss what I'm saying.
Right.
See, your resurrection is inside of you.
Amen.
Your rapture is inside of you.
Right.
It is that new birth. It is that baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? But we got to get some way to bring it back to flesh. And I know I've tried to preach this for years and people, you know, I ain't saying they don't understand. I'm just saying it's been a hard thing to try to preach that you can't go from son of man to son of God to son of David. You can't go that way. See, the prophet went from son of man to son of God down through the ages. Then in the last part of the last age, he comes back to son of man, and then he says, now we can go to son of David. See, if you don't come back to that son of man in this day just prior to the change, there's not going to be a change. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to get you to see the very key of all of the understanding of the Bible lays in the fact to be able to understand the son of man. And what's transpiring, what's taking place, what's being done. And see, there through the Old Testament, those prophets would say, thus saith the Lord. And it would even come up to Moses until he'd move in closer than the other prophets and he would actually speak. And then even like David, let's see, what is it, they pierced my hands and my feet and things, where David would actually so come and get so involved in what he was doing till he would be talking like himself. You remember, and that's what the man asked there in the book of Acts or something. Is this man talking about himself or another? See? Because there was those men that were so used until they would be speaking of what would happen, but yet still, no matter how what they were, they couldn't do anything to redeem the man.
Right, right.
So here God had to come into human flesh. Right? He couldn't just step down on earth and redeem the man. He had to come in human flesh to be able to, number one, release that soul, that being part of him, that could come back on you and I in the new birth. All right? But he had to redeem that body. What if he had not redeemed his own body? You say, you mean his body? Yeah, his body was a creation. Anything's a creation, got a beginning. It's got an ending to it. All right? See? Are you following me? See, then the Son of Man, when he stepped on earth, then he truly was, verse 14, see, of John, and the Word was made flesh. Not to just say the Word made of flesh. Mm-mm. The Word itself was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. You say, are you expecting that to be in the end time? Yes, but never to be in one person. Uh-uh. Can't happen in one person. What I've preached for 40-something years, I say it right now so much, it can't be in one person. I don't care who it is, you, me, or who you think it is. It can't be done in one person. The bride herself becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the prophet said. How is that to happen? See, that's why I've always tried to preach it to you, who the Son of Man really is. See? Jesus was the flesh man that God inhabited to live on earth, right? But yet that flesh had to do a redemptive. We wasn't kinfolks to God in spirit. No. We're kinfolks to God by the redemptive power of the blessings that he redeemed us through the fact of giving his life, yes, coming to live in you and I, to redeem us, but he went right on and Brother Brown said he laid claim. Go to Future Home. Said he laid claim right there. Right there on Calvary, he laid claim to our bodies. But he had to wait a while. And then it would have to be come back in the end time to come back to the Son of Man. Now listen to what I'm trying to say and get it rightly to understand. If there is no Son of Man in the end time, there is no redemptive power for the change of the body. So we're going to keep going by the grave until somebody realizes what's taking place. You say, yeah, but you're making it to where this, I'm making it to where it's a whole group of people, never to one individual. Brother Branham, I gave you the quotes on it. We'll read them in a minute. Where he said a universal church. A universal. Mean all over the whole world. And form, brings it down as to being the bride. Oh, you mean that we're going to have something to do with the redemption? Yes.
Amen.
See? But Brother Branham coming to bring the message is not the fullness of the Son of Man.
Right.
I said it the way I meant it. He's not the fullness.
Right.
He's part of it.
Amen.
He's part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
But he's not the fullness of it.
Right.
But neither are me and you.
Right.
It takes all of us together. Not just one person or one little group of Lulaites. No. It takes a bride around the world. Jesus Christ was the flesh man that God came himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God came down into human flesh, making that man the Son of Man. Not a Son of Man. Not just to be a prophet, even though he was a prophet. He was the greatest of all prophets, but he was the king of the prophets. See, if you can look back and see those prophets could be called, as Jesus said a moment ago, Jesus said, you call the prophets God? He said, why do you condemn me to say that I'm a son of God? See, they knew when he said that he was Son of God, that Son of God was God in human flesh. They were smarter than you think. They knew what he was saying. They didn't kill him for just him making little statements. They killed him when he was making the statements that they knew what he was talking about. That he was telling them he was God in human flesh. And that's who that was. God in human flesh. What is the bride to be in the last days? You'll see what I've always tried to preach. The bride is to be God in human flesh.
Amen.
That's all I've tried to get you to see about us and what we are. 40-something years preaching it that way. To believe it about the Son of Man. See, Jesus was God in human flesh, or a flesh man. See? God revealing himself to mankind, in mankind, or in flesh. That's what Jesus was doing. He was revealing God in flesh. See, that's what I said about them. They wasn't dummies. They knew what he was saying. They knew when he said that I'm the Son of God. They knew better than to think about a Trinity. Their word wasn't even there. When he was saying, I'm the Son of God, they knew he was saying that he was God in human flesh. Because today, what is a child of God? You realize by that new birth that you have, you're a child of God. You're God made manifest in another form called a bride. That's all I've ever tried to preach, all I've ever tried to get us to see. That if we can just see what the Bible is saying about us.
Amen.
And see, Son of God is Spirit God.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Son of David is God over the earth and the ruler of humanities and everything. You know, he's in full control into that Son of David. Sure, he's connected to the Jews, and they'll be into that part and sit on the throne, and they'll be there.
Right?
But he's the Son of Man.
Amen.
If he couldn't come back, I said if he couldn't come back, because I believe he's come back.
Amen.
Right.
Now, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't believe Brother Branham is God. No way.
No. Right.
But there's one thing about it. He's so close to it.
Yeah. That's right.
Because if it took a veil over Moses' face for them to be able to stand in his presence, no wonder the people couldn't understand Brother Branham. No wonder they made him God. No wonder they tried to worship him and all of the things. Why? Because he was so close. So close to being God in human flesh. Bring him back to a Son of Man and keep him in that situation. And you bring back, now listen, here I'm going to get to the point that it took me 40 years to try to preach. See? The bride will be the Son of Man.
Amen.
But you put her in flesh and stand beside of him, she's a Son of Man.
Amen.
He's the Son of Man.
That's right.
Amen. Ain't doing away with him. Okay. Don't never think that I'm trying to do away with him to put it all over into her. Uh-uh. No. It's not all into her. You got to keep him here. He's the one. But he is the Son of Man.
Yeah, right.
But when he comes now, he's in the bride form.
Amen.
In this dispensational part right now, he's in bride form.
Amen.
Church ages made a way. Right? Son of Man made a way for Son of God to come into church age. He gave his life. He relinquished the life out of his human flesh.
Yes.
And the flesh went to the grave and had to be redeemed. Not because it was sinful, no. But because it was a creation. It had a beginning. All right? Son of Man made way for Son of God. Son of God makes way for Son of Man because Son of God is to return back to the original Word. Right? That's why the prophet had to come. That's why Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, all of those had to fall back. It had to be a prophet coming this day. You see, you go that way, you go that way. You miss it either way.
Amen.
Brother Branham was not God.
Amen.
But he was as close as it'll ever be as far as human elements. Because God was using him.
Amen.
All right? The Son of Man was using a Son of Man in our day. I never made Brother Branham the Son of Man. I've always taught that's incorrect. You can't make Brother Branham the Son of Man.
Amen. Right.
No. But the Son of Man come through that flesh.
Right.
To actually what I told you there Sunday, if you're listening, if you'll go back and listen, you'll hear me say it. Keep this in the correct line with Moses, and you can look at Moses and see that Moses was God to the people.
Amen.
The Bible says that.
That's right.
It says you'll be God. Aaron will be your prophet.
Yeah, right.
So that's why when Moses would come up, he'd say, Aaron. Aaron would say, thus saith the Lord. Throw down a rod, this thing happened.
Right.
Why? Because Aaron, he had to have a prophet. He had to have a voice because that was what they wanted.
Amen.
Was somebody to speak.
Yep.
He knew that would come forth in the time.
Right.
So they were doing it. But get what I'm saying then. See? But Moses himself was so close into that position until Brother Brown said it. He said, I couldn't understand how Moses could tell God a better way of doing that.
Right.
He said, until I seen it was Christ in Moses.
Amen.
Right. Who was that in standing there on the earth?
Amen.
God in human flesh, but his name was Moses.
Right.
Why? Because he was in a natural flesh.
Right.
As long as you keep that natural flesh, don't you worry about it. Don't let that natural flesh ever rise up too much.
Right.
Because it won't work.
Right.
All right? But listen, The Son of Man, all right? He's God in human flesh in Jesus Christ. The prophets were a Son of Man, which was being God using them, but inside of them was not the dwelling of the Holy Spirit as a new birth. Right? You see why we've spent so much time over the years trying to get you to understand that? Be careful with that, how you carry it. Let's see. But it's so close till Moses could actually stand there and speak or write the Bible. Right. But yet he was not the God of the Bible. He couldn't die for your sins. So you always got to keep him a Son of Man. But when you come to the finality of this day, it can't be just a Son of Man. If you can get God back in human flesh, you've got the Son of Man. And I'm talking about God in your flesh and my flesh. I'm talking about going further than just this point of saying we're born again at faith. I'm talking about stature of a perfect man going on out, adoptions, all of the things is bringing it into reality. That the bride, not just three quarters of it. And see, I'm not putting nothing out because if you understand what I'm saying, listen, this is the way I've taught it and always have. You can't just make it to bride in the end time. That bride all the way back. Back from the book of Acts. Back from the first church age. That's the bride to me. That's the one that's standing in Revelations 1, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. That's that one back there. It takes all of the bride of Christ in every church age. I'm not saying that one individual or one church age or one thing can be. No, I've never taught it that way. You may have thought it, but it's not been. Because it's got to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you can't make the last age, listen, you can't make the last age the fullness of the Godhead bodily without bringing it through seven church ages. Then you can talk about fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you put all the church ages together and bring out all of them in what they're supposed to be bringing. But yet down through those ages, there was not any of those that was dealing with the redemption of the body. The great apostle Paul was the greatest of all, but yet he still had questions and thoughts. He could talk about changes. He could talk about those things, but he couldn't bring it into manifestation. Right? He knew it was a future thing. He knew what he was saying would come in the future. Now we're here. See, now the bride realizing who she is. Luther and them might not have understood who they were, but they were part of the body of Christ. And I'm in no way talking about a Son of Man just being in a seventh church age or a bride age or some kind of something like that. I've never taught nothing like that. It takes all of the entire bride down through seven church ages to come out, and then you've got the bride age that comes into manifestation. The bride age that comes into manifestation is when that man stands there in, what is it? Leviticus 25, where it's talking about the, how does it state it, Leviticus 25? Because it covers right down to where the sounding of the trumpet and all the tense verse and coming down to the complete plan of redemption, the 50 or through the 49, that there's a church age messenger in this 49th. We had a man in this message. I mean, a man in this day that was not the messenger to Lady Osea. He said, I'm not. He said, you'll make me a Lady Osean. Right. You say, yeah, but he was preaching to them back there. No, his message, he had to restore.
Right. That's right.
He had to restore all of those things before his message could be brought.
Right.
His message begun in the seals.
Amen.
Right. Because that was the message Moses brought to the people that wrote the five books from. Are you following me? You getting the point? See, you got to get something to where that it can deal with flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was God made manifest in human flesh, called the Son of Man. Remember, that's what he said. Who do man say, I, the Son of Man, am? Like Brother Ryan said, he never declared himself to be Son of God. He said he always would declare himself to be Son of Man. Because that was what it would be to where it would come forth. Well, wouldn't it come forth in the end time? What's your problem with coming forth in the end time to see that God brought us a prophet? And that prophet was so close. He was just like Moses. He was so close until you'd have to veil his face. Because if you didn't, you'd start worshiping the messenger instead of the message. I believe the messenger and the message is one. I don't believe the messenger by himself is one. You bring the message and you get it into reality. Listen. The Son of Man was in the Old Testament and would be the eternal God appearing in the prophets to bring forth the word. All right? Moses did not. Now listen to the point and you'll see why that you can't put the fullness all into one thing. Even though Moses wrote five books, he could not bring it forth into manifestation. All right? And writing the five books, see, you would be leaving out the word coming in flesh. Because you'd be dealing with that, looking at that, trying to make that the word flesh. You know, Moses. Don't do that. Come on down. Moses just spoke of the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke of the coming of the bride. All right? See, those prophets were the flesh. Yes. They were the flesh that God would use. And God could use Brother Branham in such a mighty way until it would be hard to tell the difference between him and the God that was doing. I agree with that. I mean, I see people, I don't make that God to be there, but I see people that hold their confidence so much into Brother Branham and thinking he's God. But you can't do that. But you make him part of the body of Christ. Because that's what he is. Then you can start talking about the Son of Man. Because listen to what I'm talking about. The bride is not complete. Let's see. Let me state it in my way now. God is not complete. Lean not to your understanding. Brother Run said, God is not complete without you. All right, so there's something that's got to be in me and you. All right, do you realize then that Brother Branham's not complete without you? But now, let me say it again. You're not complete without him. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? We're not complete without Brother Branham. He's the one that brought the message. It's putting it into the order of trying to show that it's not God that we're looking at. It's God in a man. It's a flesh that was yielded so until the God could come and live in that flesh. I believe that'll happen again to a bride of Jesus Christ, maybe for a short period, right? Maybe it'll be, bro, like Brother Brown said. He said, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost and God will do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000, but said he's doing it now. See, you realize, you ever think about what you're facing right now? Now listen for a minute. I'm not going to try to preach nothing out of the word to try to get it, but I'm trying to get you to see something. You realize right now what's taking place? The churches are not attacking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. These demons are not attacking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They know better. That virus, I can't pronounce the word for it, so I call it virus. But that virus is attacking your flesh. Come on. It's a contact disease, right? It's got to have something, even if it's sneezing to mucus or something coming out and you standing beside of somebody and they sneeze and you get the disease. It's still a fleshly disease. Isn't that odd? Isn't it odd that these diseases are attacking right when the bride is being taught that I'm saying it, do what you want to. I've been teaching this 40 years, so I ain't worried about you thinking I'm going to get exalted because I ain't concerned about that. But I am saying one thing. I have taught this 40 years over to get us ready. And now here we are. Amen. Facing a disease that is attacking the flesh. Why? Because the bride is beginning to see who she really is. Amen. That she's God in human flesh. Amen. That whatever we've got, God give it to us.
That's right.
It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves.
Right.
You realize what I'm talking about? You realize what I've been trying to say for all of these years? But never been invited to this, to anywhere to come and preach. Get maybe one message opportunity, and then I'm gone. I can't do it because I try to preach a little bit of something. And the first thing you know, then I'm not invited no more. And that's no problem. I understand. I understand one thing for sure. If God hadn't revealed to me the Son of Man, the bride being the Son of Man and putting it in the correct way, that not to be a son of, I mean to be a son of man, that the Son of Man would be living in, but would be the Word made flesh, and that's what I taught in 1969. And I've believed that. I've not been upset in heart about anybody that don't want to believe it, because if God can't, if He don't reveal it to you, you can't see it. You can't see it unless God reveals it. Right? And I'm as honest as can be. Even after He reveals it, sometimes it gets pretty rough. Because you're trying to look at too much flesh. And then you wind up trying to whoop the flesh into line. It's not whooping the flesh into line. It's the Word that will come to redeem the flesh. The Holy Ghost is supposed to put the Word in flesh in line, the body, right?
That's right.
That we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Right.
See, that's what we've got to do with what He's done for us.
Yeah.
Knowing that we're standing here facing all of these things. Knowing that we're here in the end time with all of these things happening.
Right.
And I'm not scaring nobody. It ain't going to scare you anyway. I've never tried to scare anybody with what I thought. You know, what I taught, I've always taught what I believe. I've always believed that the bride, a complete bride, not a singular, not many, a few, or a Lulites or something, some group. No, it's all over the whole world.
Amen.
And it's all back down through seven church ages, all the way back.
That's right.
It takes all of them to come forth and be the Son of Man.
Amen.
See, then they realized what was taking place. See, Martin Luther, you think about him. That is, he went out there with that and he was a good man. He was a, you know, as we'd call it, converted under the times of the days and the things. But then God spoke to him and said, "The just shall live by faith." And he wrote right beside of it, they say, "Alone." The just shall live by faith alone. He ain't gonna live by nothing else. He didn't want to come out of the Catholic Church. I got his own writings at home. He wanted to convert the church. He was doing everything he could to try to convert the church. He didn't try to do away with the communions and the things they were doing back there. He wanted them to be correct. He wanted all of that to be. But when he realized that they were not taking what he was saying, they were going out and burning down buildings and saying, Luther told us to do this. He didn't do that. He was trying to get them converted. That's right. That's what I say. All right. Jesus was the Word made flesh, a man walking on the earth in human flesh. All right? Now, take that entire Jesus Christ, because each age is a part of Jesus Christ. Each individual is a part of Jesus Christ. You know, born again believers. And put all that together. And what do you got in the last days? The Son of Man. The Word made flesh. How much did the prophet speak on the Word being made flesh? How much did he speak about how the Word, the bride had to become the Word? I ask you to even just turn any tape, just go home, pick out a tape, stick it in, and you'll hear him saying something about what I'm talking about. The redemptions, the salvations, the things. Because that's what he's always taught. Listen. See, the Son of Man was in the Old Testament. Right. Through those prophets and things. Jehovah God using the prophets to do the things, even using them to create, as Moses. Then he appears in human flesh, walking on the shores of Galilee. Right? Then, isn't it odd that the Bible says, they without us cannot be made perfect. They without us. That's what I drove at, driving. I believe if Luther was standing here today, he'd say, that's what I was talking about. When I preached the just shall live by faith, that's exactly what I was talking about. A God living in human flesh in a people. He rejoiced with the Holy Ghost that was within him, but waiting the redemption of the body. And that's what all has done. But you don't catch it. Let me say it one more time. Then isn't it so odd that in the Old Testament, the Son of Man, God himself, was finally produced. Yeah, and listen, what did the prophet say? He said the prophets built the body, that's flesh. All right? The prophets built the body that walked on the shores of Galilee we call Jesus, because they were the Word. And he was the Word. All right? And he walks on the shores of Galilee as God in human flesh, because that's what happened. I agree with the River Jordan if they'll get it in the right order. Brother Branham said it. It's in a lot of the things is there. But you get it in the right order. Right? Because if you don't, you get it all out, all messed up. He stood there on the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost came on him. An anointing came upon the Lord Jesus Christ that Brother Run said made him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not that he wasn't God before then. He was Almighty God, or he couldn't have come to that place. He was already the Word. But that anointing that came on him, they could not touch that body. They couldn't kill him until it was done and finished to what that man had to complete. Then they could kill him. What? When the anointing left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went on to Calvary. But you know what I like? I like the fact, the reason that there in the garden, it left him. But it's to come in the bride in the end time. And then to show that she does and it works, Brother Branham said, the anointing to the temple in the millennium is the bride of Jesus Christ. He said the anointing is upon that people that rides back. We were sitting there last night listening. Nanny said, you know, we talk about the bride. We talk about this. She said, your bride just for one day. But said, then you become his wife. That covers maturity. So the book of Revelations covers what? And his wife hath made herself ready. Revelations 19. But it turns right around in a verse or two after then and talks about the bride. Why? Because it is the bride. The bride is that one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. You're looking at the bride. See, isn't it odd that we're coming down to the message that deals exactly with the redemption, because we're coming back to the possibility and showing that in the Old Testament, it took all the Old Testament through all of the prophets, the thus saith the Lord, all of the things, and Moses and all of the different things, getting it ready to where that it could come forth. And as it would come forth, it would be a man walk upon the shores of Galilee as a human being. That would give his life, not to just release the Holy Ghost to come back, because that would not be the full redemption of the person.
Right.
That would redeem the soul, but you got to have the body redeemed.
Amen.
He was my brother in human flesh.
Yes.
He was not kinfolks to me until he come into human flesh.
That's right?
Amen.
Right?
Well, you got to keep the story running correct. Then when you get the story running correct, you'll see all the way through the Bible it's coming forth with a beautiful picture.
Yes.
That it took all of that Old Testament prophets to bring forth one man,
right. Yes.
Which was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then he would have to give his life to release the Holy Ghost that was in him, yes.
Right.
But he'd have to give his life a human flesh ransom. That our bodies could be redeemed. Future home. That our soul is redeemed, but said we're waiting the redemption of the body. Isn't it odd that the end time then is to have a mystery? And that's what I read to you last week. The prophet said it's a message. A mystery. Isn't that something? That all of these things could be put together to where that you could see what's going on? Listen. Read real fast, and I don't ask them to pull them up. Brother Branham on a message called The Trial. In these last days, as Son of Man, making himself known among his people in the form of his people. All right? Same message. When the Son of Man shall be revealed, Son of Man being revealed, not Son of God in the church, he's put out of that, and he's Son of Man revealing himself, the Word is becoming flesh among us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Church, we would see Jesus. Jesus in you tonight is still God manifests himself in the last days. The Son of Man revealing himself in his church, the human flesh making himself known. Where is he to be made known in this day? In human flesh. Your flesh. There's your redemption. See? God down here in his church. Making himself again the Word, the Son of Man being revealed in the last days. The Son of Man back in his church, the mighty God unveiled. Back in the church again, revealed in human beings.
Yep.
Not Son of God, but the Son of Man again back in his church again in the last days. What about it? You remember these from last week? the faithful Abraham, then the Holy Spirit wasn't only in one person. It's in the entire church, universal, doing the same works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. I challenge the world to believe that. And you'll see a revival break through this country. See divine healings and things, all right? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Expressing himself in fullness of the Godhead. Deity through his church. Have the preeminence in his church. Oh, my. What? The anointed man. Now the anointed people. Excuse me. The anointed man. Now the anointed people. Oh, my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down. And Adam coming back in the anointing of the word that he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word what Eve turned down. He comes back. And we accept.
Right.
Unveiling of God. He came as the Son of Man. Then after the Holy Spirit came, he then was the Son of God. All right? God is a spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. And he lived through the church ages as Son of God. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David, sitting upon the throne of his father, David. He is the Son of David now.
Yep.
And remember, between the Son of God and the Laodicean age, they put him out. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet, fulfilling the rest of it. The scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form in Morphe. He just changes it in a great drama to him. He's acting it out. It is the rising of the sun. Who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if all the teaching that we have, the confirmation of the Word of God by Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today that in the book of like Luke and in 1730 and all, scriptures that the word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead and the Son of God is alive again. If you can see, then the prophet brought his message and look what happened. We say all God was, good shepherd, was in his Son Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God was poured out in Christ. All that God was in Christ. And all that Christ is, he poured out on the church, but you keep refusing it.
Yep.
See, you don't believe it.
Yep.
Well, no, it can't be in us. What? Come on. The Patmos vision. God was revealed in Christ. Jehovah revealed in Christ. Now where's God to be revealed? In his church, with his people, in us. The same spirit, the same works, the same manifestation, the same love, the same forgiveness, the same long-suffering, gentleness, patience, peace, mercy. All that was in Christ is in the church. Remember, keep this in mind. All that God was, he poured into Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Christ was, he poured into the church, God above us. So if he's the fullness of Godhead bodily, what does it make us? Okay. God's only provided place of worship. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. No denominational ideas, no doctrines and things of our own. Couldn't do it in Luther's day. Couldn't do it in Pentecostal Wesley. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people.
Amen.
The mighty God unveiled before us. It was God in Christ, God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. Now it's God in men, the fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Okay? Come on then. Lean not to your own understanding. God isn't complete without you. He isn't complete without you. So if he's not complete without us, why can't we believe we're part of him? Okay, the message. What was the Holy Ghost given for? And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. Not into one individual, but into the entire body. See, that would cover all the way down through the church ages, all the way through. Fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was poured out on the church. Okay? Let me stop on that and not continue that point. Because we'll pick it up maybe in the next message. I don't know. But I want to stop right there. Because I don't want to get your thoughts into too much on it. I want you to think about one simple thing. And we'll go back through it. The great eternal God wanted to reveal himself to mankind. So he created man. He made him a human being. He put him in the garden. Gave him complete control, leadership and everything. Whatever Adam would say or do, God accepted it. And that was the way it would be. Wind blow, prophet say, wind cease. So it didn't take place because Adam would ask it. All right? But yet sin entered the picture. Now look at the point of what I've always tried to get you to see. I always try to put something down this way and then put it down this way. What if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Oh, well, that would have been great. We would have just come forward. Remember, the tree of life was in the garden. But also remember, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there. But remember, the tree of life was in the garden. What about Adam and Eve? What if they'd have just come to the point of understanding enough to go to that tree? Now, we've taught it and we believe it, or at least I've tried to say it. Adam, God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Blaspheme his name, okay? Yeah. So then Eve would have had to have been part of Adam in theophany and things. So then she would have been eternal in her soul when she was created. Okay? But they wasn't eternal in their flesh. But the tree was there. They could have went to that tree. But Satan, before they got to the tree, he entered the picture and perverted their minds and their thinking. All right? Because if they'd have made it to that tree, the Bible says, lest... You know, let's put them forth, lest they partake of the tree, and they would become as gods, knowing good and evil. And then it couldn't happen. So then God knew the plan, but what did he do? He kept Adam and Eve, pulled it away, and sin had entered the picture. Brother Branham, masterpiece. He said, God didn't quit. He said, he just started over.
Amen.
He had a masterpiece in the family of Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, sin entered the picture, and he said, he just backed out. He never killed them, throwed them away, done everything. He just started building another masterpiece. Okay? You come forth then, you got to jump, see, because you got to be able to get the two together. There's Wade's in it now, so hold on to what he's doing. You got to jump to Abraham. But remember that Abraham is what Moses was writing before then. But don't worry about that. Just get the Abraham right. Because Abraham was showing the complete plan of redemption to the change of the body. Right? The full redemption, even turning back to a young man and a young woman. The full plan of redemption was shown through there. All right, but nobody couldn't understand it. It couldn't be followed. The prophets was doing the best they could do, so you have then a couple of thousand years that the prophets would come forth, and God would speak through them, and they would come out, and they'd say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is to you now. This is thus saith the Lord. And it was God speaking to mankind through mankind and bringing it forth. All right? But see, then one day, those prophets kept coming, and as they were coming, each prophet's message fit perfectly into the puzzle until it brought forth a body, or a stature, if you want to call it, you know. And John the Baptist coming to be the last one to introduce the head, all right? He didn't have no thus saith the Lord. But John didn't have thus saith the Lord. He had the word of the Lord. because you'll find that he's a keystone standing between the old and the new. It's exactly the way the Lord Jesus stands in the greater way between the old and the new. But John stood there because he introduced, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He didn't come out, "Thus saith the Lord." No. He come out speaking that word, showing what it was to wind up. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ walks forth on earth, God in human flesh, spends 30 years of his life, 33, trying to preach a plan of redemption, even covering how the sower of the seed is the Son of Man. But the Son of Man, he never spoke of Son of God. Now, he did. He spoke of him in there. Brother Branham will say that. He'll say, says he never referred to himself as Son of God. Then after a while, you'll hear him. He said, now somebody say it. Now, you'll get it. He said, now somebody say it that Jesus never called himself Son of God. He said, yes, he did, because that's who he was. Well, you think that he forgot or what happened? He was the one that said that he never used Son of God. He wasn't doing it. He was trying to put it in the correct order. You get it all done. This one puts it in order for this and that. All right, but here's the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the Son of Man. What about the Son of Man stand there and say, he said, the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Isn't it kind of odd? Brother Branham come forward in the last days trying to get us to see that the bride of Jesus Christ standing under the word can forgive sin. Not in the wrong way, no. But in the right way. You come with the word and it'll work. But I'm just getting the point. See, then when he died, he released that Holy Spirit that would come back and live in the bride. And down through seven church ages, you had Son of God manifesting himself through mighty, marvelous things that were transpiring down through those ages and times, coming out into the last days. And all at once, as I said, Brother Brown says, here he is, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. He said, but just at the ending of Son of God, before you can go to the millennium, said he comes back for a moment as Son of Man. Then you hear Brother Branham coming forth. And what was he doing? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. All the way from the beginning in his ministry, right? Because that was God speaking through him. But then a day come, he says, why Christ speak? He told the prophet, said, stop crying and speak it and go on. Why? Because he had put in his hands the ability to speak the word. What did he speak about, you and me? Redemption for you and me. What did it finish up being? The prophet of God brought his message. But he had to go off the scene. Why? Because they was making him the Son of Man. And that was incorrect. So then you start dealing with the word, the seals, the opening of the word, the prophet's message. And you see that that's bringing the bride then into view. She comes back, she comes into view, the bride. And she will be God manifest in human flesh. That is the Son of Man. Brother Branham was a part of that because he was part of the body of Christ. But yet he was a church age messenger, like I said there the other day. Think about all the things. He was a prophet. He was a church age messenger. He was a prophet spoke of in the Bible to come forth. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30 and all. And here he comes. And he speaks these things, but he has to go off the scene. Like John the Baptist that said, I must decrease that he might increase. Your prophet brought those same things. It had to go off the scene to where the bride would begin to realize who she is. What about it? The redemption of these bodies is now possible because we have had the message of redemption. For body, soul, and spirit to be redeemed. Come on, musicians. What about it? The Son of Man. The bride of Jesus Christ to be the Son of Man. But that's, Brother Dale, that's just making a little bit too much out of the bride. Why? It's what he said. He chose his wife. He set it all in motion and spoke of it. Spoken word original seed, what was it? He coming through there on one of them and he said something about it. Said you get that brute new birth, said it takes you back like you was in the beginning. And he pauses, if you hear in the tape, he pauses and he said something like, boy, that was great. That I'd never seen that before. It'd take her right back to where we're going. Now, to finish it up, here's all the demons striking the body, trying its best to keep the bride from reaching it. See, I can stand here and say, for the way that I believe it, then them demons out there now are fighting the word that has been brought. Has been brought. First he does it, then he reveals it, and then he makes it manifest. All right? So he's revealed it, and he's doing it, and he's showing us the redemption of the body. These diseases has no right to be on you and I. We can turn it away. We can cast it off. We can. But just remember, these bodies are so important to us because that is his wife. Not the wrong ideas and your thoughts and minds, but that is his wife. Let's stand. What we got? Amen. In the presence of Jehovah. Sorry out there for being a little bit late and make you push to go eat, but go ahead and run. You'll get back. Prince of Peace. Who is the bride? She's him made manifest.
And hearts are mended for his
in the presence
of the King.
Oh, in the presence. You love him?
Of Jehovah, oh God.
Who is that bride?
Almighty.
The Word of God.
He's the Prince
in human flesh.
Of peace.
Your flesh.
And troubles, they vanish. And hearts are
Father, we just thank you for today, and we ask you that what was said would be sufficient for the time. You know that our mind was twisted this morning to go in another way, but we changed our thoughts, Lord, from what you said to do, and we believe that's the way it's supposed to be. And if it's not, then you forgive us and just help us, and we'll get back to it and speak a lot more about you. We love you, and we thank you. Bless everybody. Dismiss us for a little bit as we go eat and bring us back together to Wade ministering this evening at 1 o'clock. And have your way, Lord. Let your grace be sufficient in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Yeah.